I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Singer Jennifer Hudson won an Academy Award for her role in Dreamgirls, but in the last week, her family life has become the stuff of nightmares. Some people now say neighbors should have done more. Did Hudson's family try in vain to distance itself from the man who's now a person of interest in the case? Plus, a federal judge in Missouri blocks part of a new law designed to keep sex offenders away from kids on Halloween. We'll take a look at these cases with Judge Lynn Toler. She's the star of TV's Divorce Court and the author of My Mother's Rules, A Practical Guide to Becoming an Emotional Genius. Hi, Judge Toler.
Hi, Farai. How are you?
I am doing great. So, this is just such a horrific story. Fans and everyday people around the country were shocked on Friday when performer Jennifer Hudson's mother and older brother were found shot to death. And then there was this three-day search, her seven-year-old nephew's body found. Nobody's been charged with these murders yet, but the police have been questioning the boy's stepfather, the estranged husband of Jennifer Hudson's sister. And what we want to talk about with you is really about responsibility from a distance. First off, people heard gunshots, didn't call them in. People apparently have heard gunshots before and got tired of calling in. What does that say about people's responsibility level and also their ability to cope with a relentless assault on what may be their sense of safety?
I think it speaks less to the responsibility level than you would otherwise think, and it speaks more to the second thing that you talked about, which is the ability to cope. You talk to people who have been through terrible times or in a war zone or all of this. You become somewhat removed from the anxiousness and the upset. If you shot off a gun in my neighborhood, everybody would call in because it's extraordinary, it's different, it's frightening. But if you are in a neighborhood where you could hear gunshots every night, if your level of expectation continued to be high with that, you have difficulty living. So it is a coping mechanism and a process that you use in order to remain okay in a situation where things are generally not okay.
Is this different from the bystander effect, which is what some people use as a term to talk about when people actually see a crime and still don't do anything about it?
Because the bystander effect being that they thought somebody else would call in,
yeah,
or I don't want to get involved. And I think it is different from the bystander effect because it depends on the community that you're in and what becomes normal for that community and what causes concern in that community. That changes depending upon the way the community does. Now, having said that, I will say this. We have become a society who says, not me, not get involved. One, out of fear, because you don't want to get involved. You think you'll get hurt, too. And number two, I think we've become attenuated as a society for a variety of reasons. One, because of our mobility. I don't live where my grandmother lived, where her mother lived, where my uncles and cousins and aunts are. And most people don't anymore. Not anymore, but we're so much more of a mobile society. And we're becoming a technological society. My husband yesterday called my son on his cell phone from our bedroom to his room to tell him to do something. I mean, and we've got a virtual world. I did a blog once where, you know, people saying, yes, I feel much better in this world. We're losing that sense of contact and community. So I think it's happening on a variety of levels.
Now, the, quote, person of interest being held is someone who served 7 years for attempted murder and carjacking. Again, he's just a person of interest at this point. But let's put it in the context of our lives, which is that if you have a family member who is making choices to be with someone who is problematic legally or in terms of domestic violence, how do you approach a conversation with someone like that?
It is the most difficult thing in the world to do. And even once you get a person in court, because I used to do a lot of domestic violence cases, it is difficult. The response that you get is, but I love him. And to deal with that, I think Pascal said, is that the heart has reasons that reason knows nothing of. All the logic in the world is very difficult to use on a person who says that. So what I think we need to do as mothers and as fathers is have the conversation before the love ever hits. And because once you're in love or believe that you're in love, it's a very, very difficult thing to talk someone out of.
Well, again, our hearts go out to the Hudson family. I wanted to bring up one more thing, though, which is that, you know, Friday night is, in happy terms for a lot of kids, the night of ghouls and goblins. But there are these sex offender registries that reveal that in most of our neighborhoods, there are people who have been convicted of crimes, including attacking children. So Missouri enacted a law restricting convicted sex offenders on Halloween, and convicted sex crime offenders would be prohibited from leaving their homes between 5 p.m. and 10:30. They would also have to hang a sign on their door that says no candy or treats at this residence. But a federal judge temporarily blocked the curfew for this Friday. The case is still in appeal. So what was it about this law that didn't pass the smell test for the judge?
It was vague and overbroad. That's what didn't pass the smell test. What is just cause? They say that the sex offender can leave for just cause. So how do you define just cause? Is that a trip to the pharmacy to get some aspirin, or does it have to be a medical emergency? And also they're saying Halloween-related contact with children. Does that mean a man? And I believe that was one of the four sex offenders who brought this, says, I have a nephew or a son or something that's living in my house. Does that mean I cannot carve a pumpkin in my own home with my child? They didn't block the entire law. The part where that says they have to post a sign, they have to keep their lights off and post a sign, you know, no trick-or-treating here, that remained in effect because it didn't have that constitutional question of how do we conform our behavior to it? If a law is too broad or too vague, people don't know what they should and should not do, and it has to be adequately defined.
What should communities do? Not just the legal system, but what's a smart way for communities to deal with an issue like this?
The smart way for communities to deal with an issue like that is to hearken back to what we were talking about with Jennifer Hudson. Make sure your community is a community. Make sure you know your neighbors and what is going on. Make sure you are making a conscious effort to deal with the distance and the attenuation that we have in our communities based on our mobility and technology. So if you know who's there, whose children are where, what's going on, and if you have that sense of community, that is the quickest and best way to make sure your community can stay safe.
Judge Toler,
from within.
Judge Toler, great to talk to you. Thank you.
Good to talk to you.
Judge Lynn Toler is the star of TV's Divorce Court. She is also the author of My Mother's Rules, A Practical Guide to Becoming an Emotional Genius. And she joined us from the studios of KJZZ in Tempe, Arizona.